You're listening to the Denver Real Estate Investing Podcast, where it's all about helping you grow your Denver real estate portfolio. Here's your host, Chris Lopez.
Welcome to our podcast. In today's show, Charles Roberts talks with Mark Cunningham. And Mark is a second-generation property manager here in Denver. And let me tell you, he is a wealth of information. They discuss the pros and cons of self-managing versus hiring a property manager, and also have a great discussion about the state of the Denver real estate market. So a couple of months ago, I actually attended one of Mark's presentations, and about 20 minutes into it, I thought to myself, this is solid content. I want this on our website. So I'm very happy to share that just a few days ago, Mark recorded it for us. It's called Denver Property Management 101. In it, he discusses seven tenant lease agreement issues that commonly cause issues and headaches for Denver landlords. And listen, this is not your typical fluff course. Hopefully, you're realizing that we strive to produce high quality and unique content, not run-of-the-mill stuff that you can find in 2 minutes on Google. Anyway, I highly recommend that you check it out. It's free to take and broken up into short video modules. The link to the course is in the show notes at denverinvestmentrealestate.com/podcast7. All right, here's Mark and Charles.
Hi, everybody. This is Charles Roberts with Your Castle Real Estate. I have in the studio today Mark Cunningham, who is one of the best property managers I know. I asked him to come in and just talk about a few different topics, and wanted to hit the first one, something that my clients ask me constantly every single time is, Charles, I've got a couple of properties, or I want to be an investor. Should I manage the property myself or get a property manager? So my answer for myself, having done this 20 years, is I do manage my own properties, and I have my reasons for doing it, but I'm also have a lot of respect for professionals. And you, as a consumer, may be looking to get more information on what you should do. You should understand both sides, which is exactly why I said, Mark, help me out. Talk about the pros and cons of both sides.
Well, thank you, Charles, for having me here. And we talk to a lot of owners who are considering just that as well. They're trying to figure out if they want to keep managing it properly themselves or if they want to hire somebody like us to manage their property. And there's it's not a right or wrong. I think it's going to be if the individual number one has the time. That's the biggest thing we find. People call us and we say, well, why are you thinking of hiring us? And they say, I'm tired of it. I don't have the time. So time is huge. You've got to have the time, first and foremost. And I think secondly, you need to have the temperament, because so many people get themselves in trouble. The biggest thing we hear is they try to be nice. You know, I'm tired of being the nice guy. My tenant's taking advantage of me. So you've got to have that temperament if you're going to self-manage to sometimes be the bad guy, to play as tough as you need to play in order to get accomplished what you want to have accomplished. But if you have that temperament and if you have the time, you could be very successful at self-managing.
That's great. So pros and cons, like, do you have a list of when you talk to people why they may consider one side versus the other?
Yeah. Well, I think the biggest reason you want to self-manage, and I own my own properties as well, so I've been tasked with that on self-managing some of my own stuff. The biggest pro of self-managing yourself is you don't have to pay somebody like me, because you're going to pay me a portion of your profits.
And what's a typical, I've got two condos in, you know, Denver Northwest. What are you charging?
You're going to see average anywhere from a flat rate per month. I think I've seen as low as about $90 a month flat, up to a percentage that may run 12% okay. of the income. So you're going to see it all over the place. But you're not going to pay that if you self-manage. I mean, that's at the end of the day, that's why someone decides to do it. It's because they don't want to pay the money. But another benefit of doing that themselves is they control it. If you're going to hire me to manage a property, I'm going to ask you for the keys to the front door of your house. You're going to give me control, and I'm going to need control to make it work. And that's hard for investors who are typically type A. You know, they want to have control of the property. So you're going to give up control. So if you self-manage, you retain control of the entire situation from start to end. You control the tenant. You control the leasing. If you're a control freak like I am, you want to be in control. So that's the other big benefit of doing it that way. That's why you do it. You can keep control of yourself that way. And I think the other big part of that is just making sure that you are doing it the way you want to do it. You don't have to bend your will to what I say needs to be done on your property. If you decide you want to repair the refrigerator versus replacing the refrigerator, that's your call. You're the owner. You can do it your way. Whereas if you would hire somebody like me, I may say, no, we really want to repair it. We really want to replace it.
So let's look at the other side. Why would somebody want to get a property manager? What are the plus sides of those types of things?
The biggest thing we hear is they're tired of the headaches. They're tired of the 3 a.m. phone calls, the tenant that doesn't pay. It shocks me when someone calls and says, you know, my tenant owes me 3 months worth of rent. And so now I'm finally ready to do this. So you want to draw that line much, much earlier. So I think that it saves you those headaches and hassles. The other big thing though, and people don't think about this, I think the reason is to be aware of the current rules and regulations. This is such a litigious society that we're in, number one. And there are so many local ordinances as well as federal ordinances as they relate to fair housing. And if you're a self-managed landlord, you really need to make some efforts to stay up on that stuff. Mm-hmm. If you're not a professional and you don't live in this world, you're going to get yourself in trouble. When someone says, yeah, I think I'm going to self-manage, my test question to them is always, okay, tell me what first of all, how many protected classes are there?
Okay. Don't know.
Okay. Yeah, exactly. And if you would have said, well, there's seven, I would have said, okay, well, how many can you name?
Can't name any.
Yeah. I'm a professional and off the top of my head, I don't think I could get all seven.
Good. Thank
right.
God.
And then if by some chance they said that, I'd say, okay, and how many additional for the state of Colorado and how many additional for the city of Denver? Because if you get burned on one of those, if you make a mistake or if you get shopped by HUD and they have shoppers, you're going to get yourself in a lot of trouble.
Great.
And you're going to lose a lot of money.
Which makes guys like us pretty nervous. Okay. Another thing I hear from my property manager colleagues is that raising rent can be very tough when you're self-managing, but you guys are the pros. Talk about that.
Yeah, great. That's a good point. Self-managing landlords typically don't run it like a business, right? Because they're not a business. They don't think of themselves as a business. So they're friends with the tenant to some extent, and they're always afraid of raising a rent because they think it'll lose a tenant. So from the professional perspective for a moment, we never want to lose a good tenant either. But we also understand this is a business. And odds are in the last 12 months, your property taxes went up. I know they did on your properties.
Yeah.
If you've got properties with HOAs, I'm guessing they didn't go down.
No, they generally don't.
They typically go up. So you need to have a rent increase just to maintain your profit margins. And we explain that to our owners of tenants are okay with that. Tenants understand it as long as you present it properly. And you present to the tenant, look, Mr. Tenant, my insurance went up last year. My property taxes went up last year. My HOA went up last year. I need to increase your rental rate just to maintain the property. And I don't want to have such a huge rent increase that I'm going to scare you away if you're a good tenant. But we want our tenants to get used to and be trained to expect some type of an annual rent increase. And tenants are typically fine with that. And that's why you see, it's interesting, the multifamily housing world, every year they release statistics showing what their annual average rent increases are. And their average rent increases are always 3, 4, 5, 6 percentage points higher than the single family world. And I think the reason is because the multifamily, they get it that it's a business. Mm-hmm. And that they've got to be increasing those rental rates to make money. So my advice to the single family owner who self-manages is don't be afraid to bump up your rental rates a little bit at renewal time.
Let's segue a little bit. You alluded to the market. Tell me about the market right now in Metro Denver as being a landlord.
Crazy hot. Yeah. It's every year we think this is going to be the year to slow down. And for the last several, that has not been the case.
So here it is. Here it is. Here it is. How long? Predict the future. Crystal ball.
We are seeing a slowdown in the demand for rental homes that are condos and townhomes. We are actually seeing that slow. And the reason is, look around downtown, all the cranes.
You know, lots of cranes.
There's so much building, and all the building right now is Class A multifamily properties.
So what about us little guys who do a lot of Class B and Class C kind of stuff? How do you think that affects us, if it does in any way?
My recommendation to investors is don't buy a Class B or C condo right now because you're competing with the Class A big boys. And the Class A big boys, they've got deep pockets. And they've got weight rooms on their properties, and they've got waterfalls, and they've got pools, and you're never going to compete with that. So you're going to have to drop your prices. We've seen actually prices drop on some of our small multifamily, mm-hmm. Class B projects, because these big boys are offering first month free rent. Mm-hmm. $99 security deposit moves you in. We've got the pet park. I mean, there are amenities that you cannot compete with their amenities. That's why we like investors to go after the single family home market, because there's always a solid rental market there, and there's always demand on the single family.
So based upon the population increase of 50,000 in Metro Denver, current 2.7% unemployment rate, foresee the next 5 years. I know you don't have a crystal ball. I'm joking about that. But hey, you know, you're the professional. So what do you think for the next 5 years being a landlord and what rents are going to do?
Well, I'll let my actions speak louder than my words. I'm an investor myself. I bought three properties in the last couple months.
I bought six in the last year.
There you go.
Mark, you don't even know that probably. I bought six in the last 14 months for myself to add to my portfolio.
There you go.
Okay, keep on going.
So if I didn't believe it was going to keep heading in that positive direction, I wouldn't be out there buying. Now I have sold a couple low class B and class C properties because I don't feel real strong for that market. So I've sold those and I've converted them into class A stuff. So my rate of return is actually a little less.
Yeah. Cap rates are down. Cash on cash is down. Okay. That's very interesting that you're doing that.
My wife wants to know why we're making less money each month, but I tell her, hey, honey, it's okay. It's a long-term game on this. So we're investing for the long term. So long term, I think, is very, very solid, especially for the single family. But I am leery of that, class B, class C, multifamily condo townhome stuff right now. I'm not buying there myself.
So across the board, I think rents are up something like 40% or so on average in the last 4 years, although they've only gone up, according to the Apartment Association or Metro Denver, about 4% per year over the last 45 years. So what do you think for the next 5 years? Do you think rents will be higher than today or lower? Do you think they'll go back to that regressing to the mean of 4%? We're just playing here. We're just guessing. What's your best guess?
I don't think they're going to slow down dramatically, because if you look at the statistic of what is the average rental rate as a percentage of the value of a house, historically, we're still about a whack on that. You know, going back a decade ago or two decades ago, the rule of thumb was always for an investor, if they could get a rental rate equal to 1% of the value of a house, it was a good deal. So if you could buy a house for $100,000 and rent it for $1,000 a month, it was a good, but you used to be able to do that in Denver.
Yeah, you can in Detroit.
Detroit. But we're a little bit out of whack. Now, places like California, they're always out of whack. Yeah. So the question is, are we just that kind of a market now where we'll never get back into normality? Or one of the two things has to happen. Rental rates have to go up a lot higher, which is a possibility, or values have to drop.
Okay, so I'm putting the gun to your head. What's going to happen to rental rates?
I think they're going up.
Okay.
I think we're on pace to get closer to what we see in the West Coast.
And when someone says, oh, come on, rents have gone up the last 7 years, up 40% in 4 or 5 years, they can't go any higher. I actually completely agree with you based upon just the amount of inventory there is. Put something, I'm now looking at my computer, people, put something on Craigslist and see what the demand is for properties right now. It is still incredibly strong. I had a vacancy recently. I literally had 40 people who wanted my 3-bedroom, 1-bath, half duplex in Denver Southwest. So that I see it every day, but you as the professional are suggesting you think for the next, you know, X number of years, you're seeing rents go up.
It's absolutely. Yeah. I feel very confident with that. It's safe. And there's so many people pulling their market out of the stock market right now to invest in real estate. Did you know that the Dow Jones Industrial Average, they added a new sector a number of months ago. I think it's, I don't know, 6-9 months ago. They added a new sector. The new sector is real estate. Hmm. And because all of these big players like Blackstone and these guys, they have decided that they're here to stay in the single family investment world. They're not selling. When they bought all those foreclosures, they said at the time, we're going to sell these when the market turns.
Absolutely.
The market has turned and they have decided not to sell.
Why would you sell when you get the returns they're getting? So back when I started investing 98, 99 into the early 2000s, these big REITs, they didn't buy little stuff because that was just, oh, mom and pop stuff. We don't mess around with that. We buy huge apartment buildings. During the downturn, they literally put billions of dollars into buying these mom and pop single family homes. And what they have found is the returns are as good or better actually than the large multi units. At least that's what I've seen. And what you're saying is exactly right. Back in 08, 9, 10, I had a lot of investors saying, no, I don't want to buy any single families because the REITs are just going to sell them all in 2015 and the market's going to crash. And I said, you know, really unpleasant things to these people that had four-letter words. Like, you have no idea what you're talking about. The REITs don't even know what they're going to do. And what you're telling me right now is they're making so much money that they didn't put these properties back on the market. Why would you sell these is the question they're asking themselves.
Yeah. I think that one of the biggest pieces of financial news that got overlooked in the last 6 months was when Fannie Mae came out and said they've agreed to underwrite Blackstone and companies like that. It was buried on like the third page of the investment information, but that's huge.
That's a big deal.
Because they're going to go out and they're buying more. They are buying more. They're not selling. They're doing the exact opposite. Now they're underwritten by the government. So what do you think they're going to do with those loans? They're just going to be buying.
How long have you been doing this?
My dad started Grace Management in 1978. So I grew up in the property management world, the real estate property management world, and did everything that a young child should not be doing as it relates to property management.
Yeah, my kids, they still talk about in 2013, I think my 11-year-old, we spent Valentine's Day painting a house, a duplex that I have. Don't even ask my wife about this. And the heat wasn't working. So I'm still hearing about it, you know, years later. But yeah.
Yep. That's the world of landlording.
And you are also an investor. You don't have to give me exact numbers, but you own X number of properties.
Yeah. I own about a dozen properties. Yep. I've been trying to upgrade the last couple of years. So I'll sell two class Bs and try to upgrade to a class A. And my goal, just for me personally, I'm not a big debt guy, because we work with a lot of investors and I see them get into a lot of trouble with that.
Me
That's
too.
The one point of commonality of failure of the literally thousands of landlords we've worked with is over leverage.
Yeah.
I
own all of my properties outright. I'm a crazy, crazy conservative investor, even though I completely understand why people would want to leverage and I have no problem with that. But you know, maybe there's no coincidence here.
I don't think so. So that's what I'm trying to get to. I'm trying to get to where you're at and get some of those paid off. So I'm on my way.
How do people reach you?
Our website is the best way to reach us, which is Rent Grace. So RENTGRACE, rentgrace.com.
Great. Really, really want to appreciate your time. And for those of you listening to this podcast, we're going to do a lot more of this because this was a lot of fun.
Thank you.
Hey, Chris Lopez here again. And you're probably like me, and you would have happily listened to the two of them talk for an hour or more. Unfortunately, we ran out of time when we recorded the show, but don't worry, we'll have Mark back on again soon. In the meantime, make sure you check out his course, Denver Property Management 101. You can find the link to it in the show notes at denverinvestmentrealestate.com/podcast7. Thanks for listening, and this is Chris Lopez signing off until next time.